Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
How many people on the planet Earth?
We have to be like 8 billion,
something like that? 8 billion people on the planet Earth. 32 of them hold the job as NFL kicker.
Oh, here we go.
There are 32 jobs.
Yeah.
Who's 33? Like, who's the next guy down?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
On a Monday morning, Eric Bilstead, Vince Petrano here with you till 9 o'clock. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. Adam Roberts on the news and Debbie watching the cars through that 9 o'clock hour. How many people on the planet Earth? We have to be like 8 billion, something like that?
Yeah.
8 billion people on the planet Earth. 32 of them hold the job as NFL kicker.
Oh, here we go.
There are 32 jobs.
Yeah.
Who's 33? Like, who's the next guy down?
And get him on the phone, right, whoever just, that is.
I don't know who it is. I don't know how you find him, but who's 33? We can't kick again with this. All right, that's all I have to say on that. We talked to Tausch. We did it today. You were there.
It affects the game. And everyone in the crowd's like, well, is he going to make this? Like, when it was an extra point.
Yeah.
And then they're just going for it and fourth down because no one in the stadium had confidence, including him himself, that he was going
to
kick.
But an amazing capper to that would be if they had driven down and gotten in field goal range and he kicks the game winner and then everything's fine. And then he goes on to be a world beater.
Right.
And maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Matt LaFleur said that he has confidence in his kicker.
But I don't know. Right,
that's what he said.
I don't know. Now, one of them was blocked, though, right? Like, that wasn't his fault? Didn't one of them?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
One just hit. Well, yeah, it was blocked by the pole, by the upright.
You're right.
All right, enough of that. So I wanted to get on this because I think I continue to be proven right on this point, that despite the objections, despite the insistence of so many folks who call and text and talk with us every time we talk about the topic, who work from home, they insist they're more productive in that role. Big companies continue to cut back on or even eliminate, in large part, work-from-home positions, options, or even some of those hybrid jobs where you're, you know, like part-time at home, part-time in the workplace. This big news earlier this month that Amazon is, in the coming months, going to bring everyone off their couches and back into the office.
Amazon told its employees that all corporate workers must return to a five-day in-person work week as of January 2025.
So that is Conway Gittens. He's reporting for the New York Stock Exchange for a business media outlet called The Street. Some workers for Amazon were still 3 days a week at home, two in the office, and that is soon to be done for this company that has 1.5 million full and part-time employees. Why are they doing it? Gittens again here with The Street reporting on a note to employees from the CEO, Andy Jassy.
Collaborating, brainstorming, and inventing are simpler and more effective. Teaching and learning from one another are more seamless, and teams tend to be better connected to one another.
Sounds like some good corporate speak.
I was going to say, total corporate speak right there.
Now, Gittens does point out a couple of things before I get to how this ultimately proves my point. Some companies overhired during the pandemic, and there was a recent report that some of them are forcing people back to the office in an effort to get them to quit.
Yep.
So they don't have to fire them, right?
Yep.
So not saying that's what's happening here necessarily, but it could play a role, as it has for other big companies who've done the same.
Many of those companies either overhired during the pandemic or have seen business slow markedly from a pandemic peak.
So Amazon has broached this topic before with its workforce. And as we've seen here, anytime we talk about this, people who love working from home really, really, really want to stay working from home. Some of them are willing to quit over it.
Right.
And try to find some other place where they can work from home. This time, something's changed.
Previous attempts to scale back work from home were met with stiff resistance by Amazon employees. Experts, however, point out that times have changed and the balance of power has shifted back to employers.
Aha! So a couple things at play here. When everybody was hiring, it was the workers calling the shots. right? When everybody needed people, mm-hmm. was like, all right, I'll come work for you, but I want to work from home. Okay, fine. We just got to get you in the door. We needed people. Now that things have sort of slowed down, now it's the bosses and managers who get to have the say, oh, no good. You don't want to come to the office? So we can arrange that. You don't work here anymore. So here's the bottom line for me and why I bring it up again today. Amazon is one of the most successful companies on the planet. The name is appropriate, right? It's huge. If it and some of these other corporate giants who have allowed so much work from home since 2020 were like, hey, this is a gold mine. We stumbled onto something here. We're saving money on rent and leasing buildings and brick and mortar. We're, you know, got a workforce that's so much more productive. In fact, they work for even less because we provide them work from home so we can lower our salaries. We're saving all this money. We're making so much more money. Work from home is an absolute godsend. If that were the case, wouldn't they still be doing it?
Hmm. Or yeah. Well, everything comes down to one thing. There's one thing that dictates every decision, right? That any company, whatever strategy they move forward, it's always on one specific item, and that is money. If they're finding that they're not making enough money, or they seem to see a production dip or a revenue decline or a plateau or whatever, this would be the reason why, right?
Right. And
that they would see or identify.
And that's why I continue to contend that on a macro level, and certainly there are individual people within many of these companies who might well be more productive at home. And I could see a scenario where that might be if you don't have kids running around the house or do whatever. And, you know, you don't have to have an hour long commute into the office and an hour long commute back. Yeah, or
both things
other
can
things.
Be true.
Right. You can have some individuals who might well be more productive.
Right.
But on a macro level, they must not be finding that. And this is, to your point, the only evidence you need, because if what's most important to Amazon is continuing to drive revenue and make as much money as that company possibly can for its shareholders, then they must not be doing it at the level that they want. Because if they were, they'd
be fine with it.
They'd stick with it.
They send everyone else home. Go home.
Right. Send everybody home.
Make us more money.
Only the CEO sits in the office. That's it. Right? Call me if you need something. Right? I'm right about this, right?
Yeah, well, I know that you've been a
tell me
you must
right.
all go to work all the time guy.
Part of it is just because I'm kind of old school that way and whatever. And in fairness, I never wanted to work from home. It's not a matter of like, well, you would like to be able to work from home. I did not want to. Even during COVID, we were asked before it became clear that some folks weren't going to be in the office. We were asked on those early days when I was at TMJ4, like, if it comes to this, are there some of you who would be predisposed to preferring to work from home as opposed to coming to the office? I was like, I want to go to work. Like, I want to be in the office.
There have been people who, quote unquote, work from home for ever. It's not like it's a brand new
thing. That's true.
That
wasn't brand new in COVID.
Now, COVID made it more mainstream, so to speak. And that's where you probably saw some dips or you questioned whether or not every worker is able to be efficient doing so. But there are workers who have done that and will continue. I mean, if that's really your bag, well, find the company that still does that or is going to continue to do that. It may not be Amazon, but I'm sure you can find another company to work from home at.
Yeah, there are plenty of them that are still going to go with that hybrid model or others.
Or just have that opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of people that work Silicon Valley from Wisconsin. Like, they work remotely for other companies, tech companies and whatnot.
I agree. So the future of the workplace seems to be, on the macro level, you're not going to have a lot of these, or many of these work from home positions are going to ultimately come back from the office. On an individual basis, there probably is still some good reason for companies to go with that. But in large part, you're going to see more of this return to the workplace.
And you're just happy. You just want to see every desk filled in the office.
Yes, because I so love the time we all share together, right?
Clearly.
That's the absurd part. What do I want this for? I came in, I worked Saturday. It's like me and three people. It's great.
You loved it.
To talk to anybody. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Busy week ahead in so many different ways. Former President Trump will be back in Wisconsin tomorrow. Two stops in the Badger State. Vice presidential debate is tomorrow night. But let me start with Mayor Dropbox in Wausau.
I went in and got a cart and I wheeled it up to my office. So I put it in a safe place and there it sits.
The mayor of Wausau, Doug Dinney, speaking last week with WAOW Channel 9 News in Wausau. Also talked with the New York Times, various other media outlets, was talking a lot last week. He's not talking anymore. More on that in a moment. This is about what he did with the city's lone ballot drop box that he found, he says, unsecured outside City Hall in Wausau a week ago.
You would think bolting it to the ground would be an appropriate thing before we send ballots out that says it's ready to go. But if for all I know, and all anyone knows, that could have been in the river. It was not bolted down.
Mayor's explanation as to why he put the drop box on a hand truck or a dolly, donned a hard hat and gloves, took a picture of it, wheeled it into his office, where as far as we know, it remains, right?
Haven't heard elsewhere.
Haven't heard it's anywhere
otherwise,
else.
Right, yeah.
The mayor, no longer speaking so proudly about the incident, telling media in Wausau late last week he's actually going to consult a lawyer, as well he should. The Marathon County District Attorney's Office is now, this broke Friday, so I wanted to put it back in front of you today because a lot of things were happening as we headed into the weekend. Marathon County District Attorney's Office is asking for help from the State Department of Justice and then the Sheriff's Office investigating power from neighboring Portage County. We see that often when you're dealing with entities investigating themselves or like a county investigating people within the city, vice versa, that you'll go to a neighboring county so there's no conflict of interest, which is why you have two counties involved in this. But this investigation is ongoing. So you have state DOJ, I guess, hasn't gotten back to Marathon County as to what support they will provide. But without regard for how you feel about drop boxes, and I think there's a healthy debate over that, or even whether the mayor was right on principle in this case to suggest that the box outside City Hall should have been better secured, his remedy of just wheeling it away and putting it in his office could result in criminal charges. So that story very much alive as we head into this week.
Could have done it a different way and still made it a photo op. And
see, I liked your plan, your suggestion.
Yeah, like hold a news conference right next to it and say, look what I can do with this. We need to do something about this. Look, and like he could have lifted it up or moved it or whatever, but left it there.
Point absolutely could have been made. He said he found it on a Sunday.
Yeah, if you wanted to make the photo op, or you call the appropriate people and ask them to bolt it to the ground or do whatever you have to do to prevent it.
Yeah, ring up the old clerk on Sunday and say, hey, things just sitting here. What are we doing about this? So a couple of different ways he could have gone about it. Could find himself in big trouble. And that story, again, still a lot of developments ahead in the coming week. Battleground, Wisconsin. Meanwhile, you had former President Trump ramping up his immigration stance while in southwestern Wisconsin over the weekend.
In Wisconsin, former President Donald Trump upping his personal attacks against Harris. At one point, talking about the border, calling her mentally impaired, saying she should resign and go back to California.
Only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
Now, the majority of Trump's speech centered on his anti-immigrant message, often using extreme language, claiming that all migrants are hardened criminals destroying the country.
It's ABC's Mary Alice Parks reporting on the Trump event at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center. Much smaller venue, as we discussed last week, than the former president wanted. Secret Service said it just couldn't secure a large outdoor rally given how thin agents were stretched due to the UN General Assembly that was going on in New York through the week. Former president now planning two more stops in Wisconsin tomorrow, including Milwaukee. He's going to start in the early afternoon in Madison, speaking at a manufacturing company in Wanakee, which is just north of Madison. That'll be an afternoon event, and then he heads here to Milwaukee. 5 o'clock is when he is scheduled to take the stage at Discovery World on the lakefront. You think they're going to do it in that sort of outdoor sort of amphitheater, or where else?
I'm trying to think, unless up top, because there's
there's a ballroom up top. That's
up
right.
Top. I mean, it's big, but it's not ginormous.
Maybe he's down by the fish, down there in the aquarium. I don't know.
He's in the boat. Not the Dennis Sullivan, they have a different boat, like a mock boat inside the Discovery World. So happening during Brewers game.
Yeah, Brewers 4:32 first pitch.
Yes.
And the former president set to take the stage at Discovery World at 5 o'clock. Later that night.
Governor, how are you feeling about debate prep?
So, hi, everybody.
Is debate prep going well?
Going great. This is the fun part.
What if he said, like, man, we're having a really tough time with this.
Yeah, I'm really struggling with the prep.
They probably shouldn't even have put me on the ticket. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Democratic nominee for vice president, talking about tomorrow night's showdown with Republican nominee Senator J.D. Vance. ABC's Perry Russum.
The vice presidential candidates, Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz, gearing up for tomorrow night's VP debate. It's the only one scheduled. Walz preparing with the help of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. The Walz team saying the goal is to let the governor be himself and focus on the future. A fellow Minnesota lawmaker, Republican Congressman Tom Emmer, is helping Vance get ready.
Once he understands that Tim Walz is just going to try and deflect and go into this folksy whatever, he'll hold him accountable.
Eric asked, how is he helping?
Yeah,
you?
How?
You know, they got to be doing practice debates, right?
So. Emmer and Buttigieg are just, hey, you know what you need to do here? Or are they?
No, they're like the stand-in, right?
Okay.
Right. They're pretending to be the other guy.
And because the congressman knows the governor best, since they're both from Minnesota, that's the pick there. And Buttigieg, for whatever reason. I don't know. I just find that curious whenever they talk like this. Like, oh, the prep is underway. And
what do you think? He's just in there giving him a pep talk?
He's giving him a massage.
And both of them, hey, man, you're going to be great.
Filled I think it's going to be spittoon, really good. A little spittoon, you know, just like the boxer.
Okay. This guy's hanging out.
Spit in here. Right. Putting the pressure on his bruises.
Debate will be the debate ice. Will be hosted.
The boxing thing.
Yeah, no, I got you. By CBS News. No audience. Once again, it'll be at the CBS Broadcast Center in New York. Live mics at the discretion of the moderators. So the mics will be on unless they're turned off.
And no fact-checking, which became a big point of contention last time.
And apparently it's a thing. The candidates will be at the podiums for the 90-minute contest. I had read that somehow it's tradition or oftentimes you'll have them seated.
VPs,
I don't know that I remember that for the VP debate.
The VPs always seem to sit. Not always, but that seemed to be their thing. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, not this time. They'll be at the podium. Again, a 90-minute contest, and that is 8 o'clock our time tomorrow. 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
A little bit of perspective for you on a Monday morning. Some people tired of going to work already, and it's only 8:40. Others still agonizing over that Packers loss on Sunday.
Ugh.
Things could be a lot worse. Trust me on that one. In the South right now, after Hurricane Helene rolled through, millions of people remain without power. More than 100 people are dead. That number expected to go up from this catastrophic storm that rolled through all weekend long, just leaving devastation. ABC's Faith Abube is in Asheville, North Carolina.
It's been days without power, cell service, or even safe drinking water for so many people here in Western North Carolina. We're in historic Biltmore Village, an area that's popular for dining and shopping here in Asheville. And the floodwaters were so strong that they were able to carry this commercial fridge from who knows where, miles and miles of damage. One official calling the devastation biblical.
Biblical devastation. Earlier,
that's not an overstatement. Sometimes you hear hyperbole when we talk about these storms. Well, it's a massive storm and the widespread damage. Like, look at some of the pictures.
Yeah. The way Faith described it in one of her earlier reports, she said, homes splintered and reduced to rubble, boats and docks piling up, towns turned into lakes, roads sliced in half, cutting residents off from critical help. They had 400 roads closed in just North Carolina by itself. And listen to this. I thought this was interesting. This is Morgan Norwood from ABC, whose mother lives down in this area.
Over the weekend, when I was trying to get in contact with my mother, she was in Western North Carolina for a work conference. At last check, when we last had talked with her on Friday, she was trying to get around a mudslide, and that's when we lost contact with her. Happy to report, you know, nearly 22 hours after that, she is safe. She is back home with us, but that wait was absolutely agonizing. I've covered tragedies on the ground, and I've seen families and been with them as they've gotten those devastating phone calls, and I did not want to be on the other end of that.
So what we can expect in the coming days, they're going to continue to do search and recovery efforts. Obviously, cleanup will begin and move forward. The president at some point will be down in that area, already has declared a state of emergency for the southern states. Now, the White House has said, look, we're not sending him down there unless we know it's going to be unless they
get
know,
to get in the
yeah,
way.
They don't want to get
right.
in the way. They don't want to cause any issues. So as long as all the necessary operations are taking place, then he's going to make a visit down in that area. But that has yet to be determined as to when that will take place. This storm, by the way, absolutely enormous. We noticed that on Friday when we were watching the radar on Friday morning. we could see that like the outer fringes of Helene was already like hitting like north of Indianapolis, like it had stretched that far north already.
This storm was at that point over Georgia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, into Illinois, part of Missouri, like it had covered just that entire region.
Historic.
Put it into some perspective, it was the largest storm that we've seen in America since Irma in 2017. This was 420 miles wide of tropical storm force winds, 420 miles of that. And this storm had so much moisture with
That's ABC's Kenton Gawecki. I'll leave you with this one. It's hard to even comprehend this number, but Andrew Dimbert from ABC cites just how much rain has fallen because they're getting hit with rain in some of these areas before Helene even hit. And then to get that much more, listen to this number.
The National Weather Service now says the total volume of water that Helene and another system dispensed over a five-day period was 40 trillion gallons of water.
40 trillion? I don't even know how
much is that?
How do you comprehend 40 trillion? Number. Yeah, and that's what came down over a five-day period as they continue to deal with the fallout from Helene.
Well, just think how waterlogged we are if we get 3 inches of rain,
Yeah.
They're talking 3 feet of rain in some spots. And we did feel a little bit of it. That wind the last couple of days was from that.
Yeah, you're right. That's about all Wisconsin got. Maybe just a tiny little bit of rain maybe in the, far reaches, the far,
far southeast corner of the state was looking at maybe a couple of shower bands from that.
All right.
8:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We know that the Brewers will play their first game in their wild card series of the playoffs tomorrow. We have a game time for you. It's 4:32 first pitch. Why do they do that?
4:32.
Don't even tell me 4:32. Just say 4:30 then. Because then I go back and forth between this. Well, should I just say 4:30? Or is someone going to text them? You know, actually, the game time is 4:30.
4:32. Right. Yeah.
So whatever. That's
what it is. 6:38 game two. 6:38.
Game two on Wednesday. So that much we know. So the Brewers' schedule is set for those 2 days. We don't know who we're going to play, which is wild. Still to play out today, the Mets and the Braves have a doubleheader necessitated because of the rain, in part from Hurricane Helene, that came ashore. They had two games rained out last week, and they have to finish the regular season because both of those two teams are still alive for the playoffs.
So if one of those teams sweeps, if the Mets sweep or if the Braves sweep, then they head to California to take on the Padres, and the Diamondbacks would come to Milwaukee to play the Brewers starting tomorrow. We asked Dom Catronio about it.
If it's a split, which is the more likely scenario, the Mets turn around and come right back here, and Atlanta would go to San Diego, and Arizona is out.
And the reason a split would be more likely is because
you would use your ace, per se. So the Mets haven't announced who they're going to start in Game 1. They have Luis Severino available. The Mets have already said they're going to start Chris Sale in a Game 2 scenario, meaning, well, if they win Game 1 and they already punched their ticket, they don't need to use anybody Game 2.
Yeah, so the idea being that once you're in, once you win the first game, you don't need to win the second because you're already in.
Yeah, shut it down.
So, and you know what? If the Mets win the first game, they'd rather fly to Milwaukee than all the way west to take on the Padres in another time zone. So you'd think that they'd prefer to play here. I don't know if it's because of the matchup, or I would assume it's just because of the geographical spot.
We cannot play the Braves in this first round, correct?
Right. It's either the Mets if they split or the Diamondbacks if one of the teams sweeps.
And regardless, we should know that by early this evening. It's a 12:10 first pitch for the first of those two games. They'll go right back out there and play the second because these teams got to travel.
Right, right. And Dom's got a 7 o'clock Brewers, a very special Brewers extra innings tonight at 7 o'clock right here on WTMJ.
Free stuff available today. So we talked with Brewers Chief Operating Officer Marty Ronsky earlier today. She was announcing these prep rally times and locations. You already mixed the Quick Trip affair, which occurred between 6:30 and 8:30 this morning. But the Brewers will be back out at Chick-fil-A locations. There's, let me see, Brookfield, Greendale, and Pleasant Prairie. They'll also be here at 3rd Street Market Hall from 11:30 to 1:30, handing out those Brewers car flags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ones that you put on the window and they...
I've seen them out.
Yep. So they've got... They ordered a whole bunch more after they gave away 5,000 of them last week. So that's today, 11:30 to 1:30. The Chick-fil-A's in Brookfield, Greendale, and Pleasant Prairie, as well as here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. You can pick up your Brewer's flag.
Marty Ronsky, as you said, joined us, talked about tomorrow.
Just a big celebration, getting that energy going tomorrow. The city's going to be blue and gold, you know, the home bridge and all the other places that light up. The banners are up.
Yep. Everything starts up. They're open for a nice long run, become the darlings of the league. A lot of strange teams in this playoffs, by the way. I saw the Kansas City Royals made the playoffs. What?
They were playing the Diamondbacks yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I looked over there to see what they were doing, and I'm like, they're playing the Royals. Oh, that's an easy one. I guess not.
Yeah. Okay.
Since when are they back?
The Tigers are back. The Tigers are in the playoffs this
year. Is Ned Yost still in Kansas?
That's a good
He's
question.
Not, right?
I don't think so. If you're wondering who's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow, is Jim Gattner. In game two will be Mike Moustakas.
Moose.
He had a game winner.
People liked him.
I think he had a game winner. He had a walk-off.
Was that in that first game of that deep run?
Yeah.
I feel like it was to get us to hamburgers, too.
Could have
been. I feel like he had that walk-off base hit that got us to 12 in a row.
Oh, maybe that's
for the hamburgers.
You always think about the
and
hamburgers.
And then also a playoff win, oh, by the way. But you know, how about those burgers? In terms of tickets, there are a few tickets apparently left in some of the upper reaches of the ballpark. And then additionally, if you wanted tickets and you weren't able to get them, watch the Brewers website because Marty was telling us that Major League Baseball will at some point today release extra tickets that they kind of hold for their various friends and partners and whatnot, that when they know those tickets won't be needed, sometime later today, they'll release those tickets for sale. So
okay. If
you wanted tickets and you couldn't get them or you don't like your options right now, there will be another opportunity probably with some additional tickets released later today.
What is that?
Go ahead.
What do you hear?
No,
do you hear
right
something?
Now I don't hear anything.
It's a buzz. Brewers buzz. It's alive and well, my friends. Nothing? You're not excited?
That guy needs to shave.
Swing to line drive. Base hit right field. Mike Moustakas on a two-strike pitch. Lines a single to right, and the Brewers have taken game one in the division series.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Perfect day today, and then we cool off for the rest of the week. 80 degrees, your inland high, a little bit cooler near the lake under mostly sunny skies. Tuesday's high just 68 degrees, and Wednesday morning, some of our overnight low temperatures will have dipped to the 40s. It's going to be a chilly start to Wednesday. Wednesday's high, 71. Packed show today on the podcast page. You will see an update on Mayor Dropbox in Wausau, Wisconsin, investigation into his antics. We have Matt LaFleur explaining why he lost his mind toward the end of the second half, exactly what that penalty was about. Mark Tauscher on just how hard it is when you were down 28-0 to do what the Packers did. Granted, they fell short, but just how hard it is as a professional athlete to find your head, to get right, and to stay in that ballgame. And Eric's jam-packed week ahead as well. Text Vince to 855-616-1620. We'll send you a link to the podcast page.
Everything is happening tomorrow. Everything.
Huge
Name the
day.
Thing and it's happening Tuesday.
Former President Trump here for two stops. One just outside of Madison, one in Milwaukee. The Brewers start their playoff run. Vice presidential debate. What else?
Nah,
there's three things.
No, there's more. Trust me.
WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi up next.